I'm Janitara Begum, and I work in Operation Unite, and you're tuned to 90.7 FM WGXC. ACRA.
The Catskill Town Board meets every first Tuesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. at the Catskill Town Hall and holds a committee meeting the third Wednesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. You can turn out in person at the Catskill Town Hall to speak at these meetings or tune in to a live web stream through the Catskill Town Board and WGXC. Go to wgxc.org/listen or click on the listen button at wgxc.org to tune in to any of the Catskill Town Board meetings, the first Tuesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. and the third Wednesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. at wgxc.org and townofcatskillny.gov.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by SunCommon, supporting vibrant communities across New York for 15 years. Offering custom solar installations for homes, farms, and businesses. Information at suncommon.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Claire in Acre, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC local news for Tuesday, April 4th. Go to the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org. for more information about any of these stories. Nick Reisman reports at New York State of Politics that New York legislators on April 3rd approved a stopgap budget measure that will temporarily fund New York's government while they continue to negotiate the state budget, which was due on April 1st. Now, Governor Kathy Hochul and the leaders of the state Senate and Assembly have until April 10th to agree on a new budget. Negotiations over bail reform are the main holdup on finalizing the budget, according to Democrats in Albany. In 2019, they passed a law allowing many people arrested, who are considered innocent by the courts, to go without bail. But Republicans have deemed the Democrats who passed the measure soft on crime. So some Democrats want to weaken the 2019 law, while progressive Democrats want the law to remain in place. Affordable housing, taxes, and negotiations over the state's minimum wage are also still to be set in the budget talks. Senate Majority Leader Andrea Stewart-Cousins said, quote, "We are disappointed that all parties couldn't come together to pass a final budget in a timely manner," unquote. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics. Nancy Kern reports for Columbia Green Media that as of April 1st, Central Hudson monthly utility bills will include a 0.5% surcharge. And while customers locally have been mad at Central Hudson for high costs and estimated billing, this surcharge is not their fault. It is part of a New York State program to give all low-income New Yorkers forgiveness of up to $2,000 in utility bills in arrears prior to May 1, 2022. The one-time bill credit program is available for New Yorkers who qualified for home energy assistance, SNAP, Medicaid, Social Security supplemental income, and federal public housing assistance. Governor Kathy Hochul said of the program, quote, "Earlier this month, I laid out extensive proposals to make energy more affordable in my State of the State address. And with this historic electricity and gas utility relief, we're achieving another major milestone to help New Yorkers stay warm during the cold winter months," unquote. The program's budget is $672.1 million, which is going to 478,000 residential customers and 56,000 small businesses. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. Melanie Lekasevic reports for Capital Region Independent Media that county officials broke ground on a new state-of-the-art renewable energy highway garage in Alcove in southern Albany County on April 3rd. The groundbreaking was premature, as the old garage still needs to be demolished. Still, Albany County Executive Daniel McCoy was crowing about the progress, saying, quote, "This is the first Albany County building that will be powered by 100% renewable energy. We have been talking about this for over 12 years since I have been in office," unquote. The new building uses several types of renewable energy. Quote, "Solar panels will provide the electricity. We will capture rainwater to be used to clean the equipment. Geothermal will heat the building," unquote, McCoy said. Quote, "The money the taxpayers will save over the years will be off the grid," unquote. And the new garage will also have EV charging stations for electric vehicles. Albany County is spending $5.31 million on the project. Read more about this story at theupstater.com. And Melissa Schumann reports in the Saratogian that Amtrak's Adirondack train line resumed operation this weekend. Before the COVID-19 pandemic, the Adirondack line ran from New York City's Penn Station to Montreal with stops in Plattsburgh, Whitehall, Ticonderoga, Rensselaer, Albany, Port Henry, and Rouses Point. Representative Elise Stefanik, a Republican who represents much of the area in Congress, said, quote, "Families throughout upstate New York and the North Country rely on the Adirondack Line for transportation, and it serves a significant economic driver, connecting tourists and our Canadian neighbors to our region," unquote. Read more about this story in the Saratogian, and read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Tuesday, April 4th. Local early morning temperatures range from 37 degrees in Dover Plains to 47 in Scaghtikoke. Regional average soil temperature is 44 degrees. Pollen levels are low but expected to pick up before the weekend. Some light rain falls for some this morning, which will be done by 8 a.m. and we hit 66 degrees by 3 p.m. Overnight temperatures drop to 48 degrees. Rain chances return. That rain will continue through the day, and we see a high of 52 happen just before dark on Wednesday. Overnight, it gets a bit warmer, hitting 55 degrees as the rain gets stronger and possibly bringing thunder. Thursday, still rainy with a high of 62. Friday, things dry out, get pretty windy, and hit 56 degrees. Today's river temperature will be 42.6 degrees, and the tide strength will be high. Sunset today will be at 7:09 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:29 a.m. Looking way up, we see X-class flare chances are at 5%. A sideswipe from a CME is expected to cause geomagnetic disturbances. Remember, though, in an infinite sky, we can only look in a few directions at once, so surprises do occur. Solar wind speed is currently 495.6 kilometers per second at 9.9 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 4 megahertz till dark, then fair across the board overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 3.6, quiet. The current sunspot number is 56. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate. And we're coming at you live on Thursday, so if you want to hear the nerds get cranky, tune in.
You're listening to Wireless Reconnaissance, Broadcast Surveillance, Transmission Art, and more Saturdays on WGXC 90.7 FM Creative Community Radio.
2023 jazz there from Steve Swell and Joe McPhee Blowin. Joe McPhee from Poughkeepsie there, and Chris Corsano on percussion. He's from Ithaca. The album's called Sometimes the Air Is, and that song was Ardent Disruptor on WGXC. This is your WGXC Wave Farm Animal Report, and we're listening to the Spring Peepers that popped out on April 1st. As temperatures warmed above 70 degrees, we've seen fuzzy caterpillars, wasps, deer, of course. And more. But it's beginning to sound like spring. So we add in some other noises from inside the Wave Farm Pond and Zach Poff's Pond Station. Quintron's traffic sacks picking up the sounds of passing vehicles on Route 23. Quintron's weather warlock turning the changing temperature, precipitation, sunlight, and wind into sound. And the test site for Acoustic Commons, the microphone in the woods at Wave Farm. This is your WGXC Wave Farm Animal Report for the first week in April 2023. Thank you.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. In a year of many anti-voter bills around the country, we have a ray of sunshine for you today. March 30th, New Mexico's governor signed the HB 4 New Mexico Voting Rights Act, expanding voter registration and vote-by-mail options and making voting more available for the state's Native Americans and returning felons. The new law signed March 30th by Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham enacts automatic voter registration when doing business at the Motor Vehicles Department and gives the option of Election Day registration at all polling places. It enhances mail-in voting by creating a permanent absentee voter list, assisting elderly and disabled voters, and guarantees 2 monitored drop boxes in every county. The act also restores voting rights to an estimated 11,000 returning felons immediately upon release from confinement, eliminating the waiting period during probation or parole. Included in the package of reforms is a first in the United States, the Native American Voting Rights Act. It allows Native nations, tribes, and pueblos to apply to change their voting locations and provide drop boxes. And most importantly, it allows Native citizens to use government buildings as a registered address. Since some rural locations don't have addresses, legislators in other states have used address requirements to suppress the Native vote. We have links to articles, the bill's language, and groups taking action at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. Find us on Facebook at American Democracy Minute. I'm Brian Beal.
We were spinning away there with John Cale and Brian Eno on the WGXC afternoon show, and now we're going to go spinning to Catskill. Joining us on the phone is Spike Priggen from Spike's Record Rack, which is celebrating. That's the word. I couldn't think of celebrating. It's a fifth anniversary on Main Street in Catskill, the record store there. When is it? April 7th is the anniversary?
That's the actual fifth anniversary to the day that we opened. We opened on a Saturday in 2018.
And
April 7th.
And you opened across the street.
Yeah. In a much smaller and less nice location than I'm in now. So we moved into this new location about a year ago. And it's just so much better in every way.
And so I guess things are going well if you're able to move into a larger space. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, it was sort of forced by the landlord in the old space wanting to double my rent. But, he kind of did me a big favor in the long run because now I have this awesome new space for kind of the low end of what he wanted to charge me for the old store.
Hmm.
So it's the best thing that ever happened to me. I love my new store.
It is a beautiful spot, and we don't have too many record stores in the area. What is the interest in buying vinyl records these days?
It's pretty high. It's been growing pretty steadily for the last 10, 15 years, but I think COVID really seems to have like jump-started it. I know between 2020 and 2021, my business more than doubled.
Why do you think the pandemic increased interest in vinyl?
Because people had a lot of time on their hands, and most people who were on unemployment, which was most people, were making more money than they would have if they were working. I think all the collecting hobbies, from what I understand, grew during COVID.
I guess that makes sense. I hadn't thought of it that way, but that does make sense. Are people just buying vinyl these days at your store, or do you are CDs or cassette tapes or 8-tracks going out?
I sell all four of those things. I sell a lot. It's mostly vinyl, but I sell a lot of cassettes. And I also have a big rack of CDs, and you know, those move. You know, a lot of people still have CD players in their car, so that's good for them. And you know, a lot of people just still like CDs, like me. You know, my radio show that I do from the store is kind of like maybe 2/3 LPs and or vinyl and 1/3 CDs. You know, I don't hate CDs like some vinyl centric people seem to.
And the cassettes are back.
People love cassettes. It's kind of crazy. I mean, I think it's just really a thing of like the kids don't want anything digital.
Wow.
You know, they'd rather have a little hiss than have it be digital.
And then I can't imagine there's too many 8-track sales going on.
You know, I only put 8-tracks out in the last few days. I put a few in the case. You know, they are collectible, but they're hard to display. You know, the cassettes I have racks for on the wall, but the 8-tracks, they don't really make those big wall racks for 8-track. It would look horrible anyway.
And they offer not just the hiss of a cassette tape, but they also offer that breaking up a song right in the middle of it and giving you that pause where it switches to another track, right?
Yep. It's like if you listen to too many 8-tracks, you go to listen to the record and you're like, hey, why isn't there a big break in the middle of this song?
Yeah, I think we had Hotel California and an 8-track in the car in the 70s, and I can't remember what song it was that flipped over in the middle. But but there's always, the track that's too long, it comes at the wrong time, and it's like just weird that way. But what have you been surprised about with the record store?
I'm shocked every day by the value of records, either by things being worth way more than I thought they would be worth, or just things that are really awesome that aren't really worth very much money. You know, it's just supply and demand, you know?
Yeah. It's, I guess. Yeah. I mean, the collectible thing, I understand it seems, exceptional in the face of all the, digital outlets where you can get the same song, sometimes free, sometimes, for little money. In the face of, I mean, everybody had written off record stores, 15 years ago. When was the death of record stores?
It was more like 25, 30 years ago. I mean, it's funny. People come into the store all the time and they'll ask me, hey, do you have a record by so-and-so? And I'll have to tell them, you know, that person probably didn't put their records out on vinyl. They existed in the CD era, you know? If that record is on vinyl, it came out very recently as a reissue, you know? A lot of records that I really love from the 90s and early 2000s are just coming out on vinyl. I know Freddie Johnston, there was a bunch of his records that never had come out on vinyl. The Pernice Brothers are putting stuff out on vinyl that had been CD only previously. So it's a pretty big thing.
And do you do a lot of reissues, selling reissues?
No. I mean, 95% of the records in the store are actual vintage used pressings, you know. I order brand new copies of things that are just very desirable and that I think are cool, but you very rarely see in the wild, you know, like Nirvana Nevermind. I've only ever seen one original pressing of that in, you know, the 12 years I've been a record dealer.
Yeah.
And if I had one, it would probably be a $1,500 record or something, you know.
They probably didn't print that many original pressing.
They definitely did not.
They did not think that was going to be that size of a popular of an album at the time. I remember when I got the CD in the mail, it did not seem like it was going to be the biggest album in the past 5 years or whatever it was at the time.
Yeah. Everybody liked Nirvana.
So what does Catskill like? Do you notice a type of music that is more popular here or that you're surprised is popular?
You know, honestly, I think most of my customers come from like Brooklyn or Jersey or, you know, I have a few regulars that live here in Catskill, but I'd say, you know, I wouldn't judge Catskill by, you know, what people are buying in my store. Mm.
So like being your proximity to the interstate is helpful to the store, huh?
Well, I think, you know, it's just a place where people come now on the weekends and there's Airbnbs right upstairs from the store. So yeah, there's, you know, and they're all, ever since I opened, I always ask people, where are you from? Are you local? And you know, people come here from all over. It's kind of shocking, really. But it is a vacation destination nowadays.
And is it more of those people that just happen to be up in the Hudson Valley for the weekend, or do you get a lot of people that are going from store to store to store and thrift stores and looking for records everywhere?
Probably a bit of both. You know, there's definitely people that come in and say, I've been following you on Instagram for years. I'm so happy to be, you know, to be here. So that's a good way to, you know, promote the store as well. The Instagram page. I just bought a really great record collection a couple of days ago, and I've been putting out a lot of the records. And I shoot these what we call flip videos, where I just flip through the new arrival bin and show you every record for a few seconds. And, you know, one of my regular customers that I hadn't seen in quite a while came in and spent like a phenomenal amount of money on these new records that I just got in. So, you know, yeah, Instagram is a really good way to get through to people.
Yeah, especially for a used record store. That's a fabulous way to get people to come in if they see like, oh, he just got that record that I've been searching for 10 years. They're going to come in for sure.
You know, at the beginning of COVID, I was doing a lot of my business directly through Instagram. I would just post these flip videos and people would, you know, make orders and I would ship them out to them. So, yeah.
Yeah, you were all mail order for how long during COVID?
Well, you know, for the couple of months where you weren't even allowed to have people in the store, you know, it probably was only like two and a half months that the store was not, you know, open.
How has Catskill changed over the 5 years you've been open?
You know, it's gotten a little hipper. I mean, it was getting pretty hip when I opened the store.
And by hipper, you mean expensive?
Just, you know, a place where cool people like to go. I remember when the Hilo opened up like, you know, 6 years ago or whatever, I would go in there and I would see people in there that I knew lived on the other side of the river. And they were just like hanging out at the Hilo. It was, you know, like people would come over here just to hang out there. So that was a big part of what made me think I could open a record store in the village of Catskill and have it be successful. You know, since then, you know, we've lost the Hilo, but we gained the Avalon Lounge, which is a great music venue and bar in town. You know, it seems like there's a big changeover happening right now. A bunch of businesses that have been around for a while are closing and some new things are opening. I'm looking right across the street at 394 Main, where there's been a succession of different restaurants, and there's going to be a new restaurant coming in there. So we got the Catskill Chocolate Shop that opened up a while ago. That's really good. So yeah, there's, you know, we have two breweries and a cidery in, you know, within walking distance of the record store. So that can't be bad for business. And, you know, soon hopefully we'll have dispensaries.
I think there's supposed to be one in not just a retail store, but there's supposed to be a lounge somewhere in Catskill, isn't there? The pizza place is the big rumor, right? The weed pizza.
Well, the pizza place, I think that's not going to happen. It's unfortunately not. I think the village shot that down because I think that guy, from what I understand, operates sort of, you know, in gray areas of the law. I don't think he's got a license to make pot pizza and sell it, really.
I guess the other day the lawsuit that was blocking the Hudson Valley stores from opening got rescinded. So it's taking New York forever to roll these out. There's only been five and it's been 2 years. But perhaps that's going to happen this year.
You know, I think there's some little stores. I was in a coffee shop just kind of kitty corner to me, City, it the other day, and they were selling edibles in there. And I was like, how can you sell edibles? And he's like, well, we applied for a license to the state and we got it. And we can sell edibles now.
Yeah. They, so I guess they can't sell edibles now. That's illegal.
No, they. I'm pretty sure they got a license for it. I mean, I'm talking about it on the radio, so I hope they won't.
But there are hundreds of those places across the.
I'm not going to lie.
Yeah,
people don't lie.
There's hundreds of places of those across the state that are not. There's only five legal.
Well, those are people that are doing it illegally as well. But I don't think this guy lied to me that he has a license.
Is there something you
want to talk about? Can we talk about the party?
I have one more question, and right. I was going to switch that. Was as a shop owner in Catskill, is there one kind of store or restaurant or food or something that you really wish would open?
You know, I really wish there was a place that just served like really good sandwiches, like a burger place that served like turkey burgers. Like there's a place called Mama's Boy Burgers that's up in like Palinville or something like that. Like a place like that. Like I have to drive like a half hour, 45 minutes to get a decent like fried chicken sandwich. Well, you know, actually there's a place in Hudson, Governor's Tavern, that has a really good fried chicken sandwich that I like. But yeah, we could use like some sort of turkey burger, veggie burger type of thing is what I would go for.
All right, you hear that, everybody? If you're thinking about opening mm-hmm. something, there's one need to address. So tell us all about the fifth anniversary party. We're talking to Spike Priggin about his record store, Spike's Record Rack, on Main Street in Catskill. And their fifth anniversary is coming up on April 7th. Tell us all the details.
So there's going to be DJs. We'll be streaming the whole thing live on the GXC website. I hope you knew that. From the Spike's Record Rack stream and maybe other streams, I'm not sure. So we're going to have guest DJs starting at 1. Liam Singer, the owner of the Avalon Lounge, Otto Hauser, who's a popular drummer around here, Chris Bishop, who runs the Garage Hangover website and used to be a DJ on WGXC, Brian Cantor, who's a drummer who's in a band called the Fruit Bats, and he's also in Morricone Youth, and then at 8 o'clock after the live music, my friend Yana from New York City is coming up, or from Brooklyn, I guess. She goes by Yana Lil Jerk, and then she's probably going to play mostly reggae music. Then about 4, we're going to start serving food and drink, and we're going to have Ben & Jerry's ice cream here. Crossroads Beer is going to be here, and we'll have empanadas from the Mermaid Cafe. And then the live music starts at 5. At 5, we have Brian DeWan, who everyone loves, of course. At 6, we have a band called Robot Hand, which consists of Annabelle Lord Patey and Shane McCarthy, who are both employees at the store. And then Shane also plays with Michaela Davis, who's going to be playing at 7. That'll be a trio with Michaela Davis. But Michaela Davis is like a nationally known artist. She plays the harp, like a big giant harp, and fronts a rock band. And she's very proficient. She gets invited to play it, to jam with people at Newport Jazz and stuff. And, you know, so that's going to be, she's just phenomenal. So I'm pretty excited about, you know, everything that's happening that day.
So what are the times? It starts at when and ends at when?
So, you know, from 1 to 4 will just be DJs, so that'll just be more like an online event. And starting at 4, the food and beer will begin to be served. And then at 5, the live music will start. And then after Michaela Davis plays at 8, my friend Yana will do another hour-long set of music or whatever. I'm not sure how, you know, it'll be 8 o'clock until... As they say.
All right. So we can definitely put the DJs on FM from 2 to 4 p.m. on Friday.
Well, that would be great.
And we can air Brian DeWan's performance at 5. If I guess we need to bring some equipment over there to get a mic on him.
Nope.
Or do you have that?
Nope. I've been buying all kinds of equipment.
So you're set for that.
I bought a nice stereo pair of mics to record the sound in the room.
And then you can feed that into your stream?
And we had plans. I hope you know this, but the on my poster, it says that it's going to be on the FM signal from 6 to 8.
Yeah, and not 6 o'clock, we have Clubhouse Radio right down the street is on, so we can't interrupt them. And 7,
All right.
Yeah, and 7 is Bound by Books. But 7:30 through to 10, if it goes that late, we can definitely put on the air.
All right.
So
sounds good.
And I think
this was a little signals got crossed there, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. And I think Meredith Coy is going to be there too as a WGXC representative.
Oh, nice.
I don't know if you've met her yet. She's just moved into Catskill.
Does she live? I think she might live across the street from
I
me.
I think
across,
so. Yes.
Above the old store.
Yes, that's
if
right.
If that's who it is, I did meet her. She came in and introduced herself.
Yes. So I think she's going to be there as a WGXC representative during the show. So. You can come out and find out how to get on the air by talking to Meredith at the Spike's Record Rack anniversary on Friday, April 7th, from roughly 1 p.m. to 9-ish.
Yep.
And have we left out any other details? You're going to have record specials or anything else?
We could tell them. I guess we could tell them the address. It's 395 Main Street in the Village of Catskill.
Is Rip Van Winkle going to be returned to Main Street by then?
I'm not sure if probably not. I'm guessing no Rip.
We probably have a few more snowstorms, one tonight, right? I think that's why they take it down, because of the plows, right?
Probably.
All right. So we've been speaking with Spike Priggen from Spike's Record Rack. He also has a show on WGXC Wednesdays from noon to 2. And WGXC will be broadcasting live with a web stream for the entire show on Friday, April 7th, and on the air from 2 to 4, maybe Brian DeWan's show at 5, and the DJs from 7:30 to however late it goes. So congratulations, Spike, on 5 years in
Thanks so much.
In Catskill. It is
shocking.
It's a lot of work to run a record store, and it can be lonely sitting in there waiting for someone to come in.
You know, I love it. It's actually the best job I ever gave myself. I'm so glad I decided to do it. It's never boring because there's always something to do, whether or not there's customers in the store. You know, I'm constantly pricing and cleaning and researching, you know, prices, and I enjoy it.
And I guess it's fun to talk to people who care about music so much.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, honestly, it's a big ego trip for me because people just come in here, give me money and tell me how great my store is. You know, it's like, what's there to not like about that, you know?
All right. Well, any last thoughts before we go?
No, thanks for having me on. And everybody come on down. It's going to be fun.
All right. We'll see you Friday, April 7th, roughly from 1 to 9 at Spike's Record Rack up at the top of Main Street in Catskill.
All right. Thanks, buddy.
All right. See you later.
Take care.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. Jamal Cutler reports for Columbia Green Media that the owners of the West Taconic Diner are planning to take down their neon sign depicting a Native American chief. According to a letter on display at the diner from the owners, and I quote, "We feel it's time to reconsider our usage of the image. We know that people are not caricatures, and we don't want to use people's image without their input or consent," end quote. The neon sign includes a Mohican tribal chief wearing a Great Plains-style headdress. The owners say they are talking to the local Forge Project and the Stockbridge-Munsee Mohican Nation of Wisconsin about the sign. The Forge Project is a Columbia County-based Native-led art initiative, and they released a statement saying, and I quote, "Forge Project supports this decision and hopes that other businesses in the region will look to West Taconic Diner as a model for rethinking the types of images circulated of Native people and not spreading false and harmful stereotypes," end quote. Jake Malone of Taconic disagreed, saying, and I quote, "Why go and tamper with things? The sign has been up since I was a kid. I don't understand why they want to change it now," end quote. Others agreed. Robert Barnes of Columbia County said, and I quote, "Everything can't stay the same forever. Change is important.
You have to move with the times or get left in the past. I don't have an issue with the sign coming down, and those who have a problem just have to deal with it. I'm not going to stop coming to the diner because of the sign. That's so stupid. End quote. The diner is on Route 82 at the exit of the Taconic Parkway. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. Corey Bortnick reports for New York State of Politics that the third recreational cannabis dispensary outside of New York City opened April 1st in Schenectady. Now, more than 2 years after cannabis was legalized in New York, the only upstate locations for legal sales are in Binghamton, Ithaca, and now Schenectady. But that will change soon. A lawsuit had been blocking cannabis stores opening in the Mid-Hudson region and four other areas of the state, but that was reversed for all but the Finger Lakes region last week, clearing the way for local stores to open. Chris Alexander, the executive director of the Office of Cannabis Management, would not say much about when the cannabis stores will open in the Hudson Valley.
We are happy that this past week the court has allowed the program to move forward, licensing to be issued in Western New York, in Syracuse, Central New York, the Hudson Valley, as well as in Brooklyn. We have, as a state, made the commitment to go out and identify locations for licensees and secure those locations on their behalf. But we do know that folks have been itching to get going, and so there's also the option for folks to bring their own location. We'll have a hybrid of some moving quickly and some taking a bit more time, but either way, we'll have dispensaries open in those places.
Read the full story at New York State of Politics. Jamal Cutler reports in the Columbia Green Media that the Friends of Oakdale Lake Group is in its third stage to stop the growth of unwanted vegetation in the Hudson water body. Hudson Youth Center Director Liz York is happy about the work because young people use the lake every summer. She said, and I quote, "I'm always grateful to Friends of Oakdale Lake. They do a lot of hard work to improve the quality and presentation of Oakdale, and I'm grateful to them, and I'm excited to see how this works out," end quote. People walking around the lake with their dog, such as Reggie James, are happy too, saying, and I quote, "My children and I use this lake a lot during the summer. We go swimming while my wife goes hiking on the trails. This lake is one of the highlights of Columbia County, and I hope my family and other families get to enjoy the water and the scenery as much as I do," end quote. Friends of Oakdale Lake first harvested submerged vegetation and then used an air diffuser to keep the water clean, odor-free, and reduce ice formation. Now they are adding barley straw in small nets or stockings to control excessive algae growth. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day. And a pleasant tomorrow. And now here is your WGXE weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Tuesday, a chance of showers before 2 p.m., then a slight chance of showers after 3 p.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature high near 61 degrees. On Tuesday night, a chance of showers mainly after 8 p.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 47 degrees. And on Wednesday, showers are likely mainly after 2 p.m. It will be cloudy with a temperature high near 58 degrees. And showers are likely on Wednesday night. It will be cloudy with a temperature low of around 56 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears, in Greene and Columbia counties.
like a wheel within a wheel, never ending or beginning, a never spinning reel, like a snowball down a mountain or a carnival balloon, like a carousel that's turning, running rings around the moon, like a clock whose hands are sweeping past the minutes of its face, and the world is like an apple whirling silently in space, like the circles that you find in the windmills of your mind, like a tunnel that you follow to a tunnel of its own, down a hollow to a cavern where the sun has never shone, like a door that keeps revolving in a half-forgotten dream, or the ripples from a pebble someone tosses in a stream, like a clock whose hands are sweeping past the of its face, and the world is like an apple whirling silently in space, like the circles that you find in the windmills of your mind. Keys that jingle in your pocket, words that jangle in your head. Did summer go so quickly? Was it something that you said? Lovers walk along the shore and leave their footprints in the sand. Is the sound of distant drumming just the fingers of your hand? Pictures hanging in a hallway and the fragment of a song. Remembered names and faces, but to whom do they belong? When you knew that it was over, you were suddenly aware that the autumn leaves were turning to the color of his hair, like a circle in a spiral, like a wheel.
It's so hard to talk to you with fellas hanging around you.